The epistle appointed to be read for the third Sunday after the Epiphany is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 12. Brethren, be not wise in your own conceits, to no man rendering evil for evil, providing good things not only in the sight of God, but also in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as is in you, having peace with all men, not revenging yourselves, my dearly beloved, but give place unto wrath, for it is written, Revenge is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. But if thy enemy be hungry, give him to eat. If he thirst, give him to drink. For doing this, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil by good. In the Holy Gospel, it's taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 8. At that time, when Jesus was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, a leper came and adored him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, stretching forth his hand, touched him, saying, I will, be thou made clean. And forthwith his leprosy was cleansed, and Jesus saith to him, See thou tell no man, but go show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when he had entered into Capernaum, there came to him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, and is grievously tormented. And Jesus saith to him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion, making answer, said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man subject to authority, having under me soldiers, and I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh. And to my servant, Do this, and he doth it. And Jesus, hearing this, marveled, and said to them that followed him, Amen, I say to you, I have not found so great faith in Israel. And I say to you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into the exterior darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus saith to the centurion, Go, and as thou hast believed, so be it done to thee. And the servant was healed at the same hour. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant shall be healed. Words taken from today's Gospel, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, I would like to begin by telling you a true story about an American soldier, a Catholic Army chaplain, and Holy Communion. The story took place during a battle in the Second World War. And what happened was this. An American anti-aircraft gun crew, under the command of its gunner, a Sergeant West, had been steadily firing upon a slew of enemy bombers overhead, when suddenly their position was hit by an incendiary bomb. Sergeant West had been thrown from his gun, but after a few moments he rose to his feet to see that his four mates were trapped within a blazing inferno. He dashed into the flames, and one by one he picked them up and carried them out to safety. But by the time he carried out the last man, Sergeant West was a mass of flames. The field medics soon arrived, only to find the whole body of Sergeant West burned to a crisp, as the chaplain would later describe it. They knew he had little time, if any, to live. They did what they could for him, and then they moved on. But the chaplain, Father Owen, who had been very busy on the battlefield that day, came and gave Sergeant West the last sacraments of the church. Even as he encouraged him to keep fighting for his life and to offer the terrible and burning pains of what was left of his body to Christ. To offer these burning and terrible pains for the souls in purgatory, for his own sins, and for the sins of the world. Sergeant West promised the chaplain that he would fight to stay alive, and he would offer his sufferings to Christ, but on one condition: that Father Owen bring Holy Communion to him every day. That was his last wish. That was his only desire, to receive Holy Communion daily until death, even though he knew in his heart that he was not worthy that the Eucharistic Christ should come to him. But the mangled, disfigured, and burned Sergeant West lived on for a few more days, and each morning Father Owen faithfully brought him Holy Communion. Now today's gospel gives us the account, my dear friends, of our Lord and the Roman centurion of Capernaum. Our Lord had just preached the Sermon on the Mount. St. Matthew tells us that he was walking down the side of the mountain, he met a leper, and he healed him. And then entering the city of Capernaum, which was not too far, he there met a Roman centurion. A centurion was an officer in the Roman army who had charge of 100 soldiers. And this particular centurion was a believer in the one true God of the Jews and had actually built a synagogue for them. He was a good man, and thus he won the hearts of the Jewish people, which in a certain sense, my dear people, was rather miraculous, since the Jews strongly detested the Romans, and for their part, the Romans despised the Jews. But this centurion, who was different from other Roman centurions, approached our divine Savior and asked him to heal his servant who was sick of the palsy. Our Savior had already preached and worked many miracles in the city of Capernaum. And thus, there is no doubt the Roman centurion had been told of Christ. And thus, at this opportune time, he, believing, at this time, he believing that Christ was the Messiah and the Son of God, humbly and confidently approached him as he entered the city. And when he, that is Christ, St. Matthew writes, had entered Capernaum, there came to him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, "Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, and is grievously tormented." And Jesus saith to him, "I will come and heal him." It is interesting to think that after the Jews had seen the many miracles and heard the divine teaching of Christ, most of them refused to accept the fact that he was the Messiah. But this Roman centurion, hearing of these miracles, hearing of these divine words spoken by Christ, he believed that he was the Son of God. And Jesus saith to him, I will come and heal him. But to these words of Christ, the centurion responded, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant shall be healed. By which words the centurion meant that he was indeed not worthy that Christ, the Son of God, should come into his home. And secondly, by these words, the centurion firmly professes his faith that Christ, who is the Son of God, could heal his servant by simply saying a word. But my dear friends, as you know, the church has taken these sacred words of that Roman centurion and immortalized them, as it were, in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. They are prayed at every Mass before the reception of Holy Communion. Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. The celebrant of the Mass prays these words in a subdued voice three times before he receives the sacred host. And then he prays them aloud on behalf of all the faithful before they receive Holy Communion. St. Francis de Sales, whose glorious feast day we celebrate this Tuesday, once said of Holy Communion that our Savior can never be seen more amiable and more tender in all that he has done for us than in Holy Communion. That is, more than all his miracles, more than all his preaching, St. Francis de Sales says he cannot be seen more amiable, more loving, more lovable than in Holy Communion. And according to this great saint, the reason for this is because by means of Holy Communion, our Lord Jesus Christ unites himself in a most sublime but unassuming manner to the hearts of his disciples and friends. Each disciple, each friend is intimately united to him and his Sacred Heart by Holy Communion. Think about this, my dear people. The same Jesus Christ who was born in Bethlehem, who walked the shores of the Sea of Galilee, who restored sight to the blind, who cast out devils, who healed the sick, who cured the servant of the Roman centurion by a simple word. The same Jesus Christ who raised the dead is here now in this chapel. He is here in our tabernacle, hidden under the appearance of bread, and here he humbly and silently remains every day. waiting for us to come, waiting for us to come and see him, and especially awaiting to be received by us in Holy Communion. How often it is, though, we become unmindful of him, and we forget just how important this is to him. How often, on account of our fallen human nature, we take the most sublime and the most divine gifts, such as Holy Communion, and we make it so common, we make it so ordinary. St. Alphonsus de Liguori goes so far as to even say that for many a Catholic, so little spiritual grace is gained by the reception of Holy Communion. For many a Catholic, he says. And why does he say this? He says because too many Catholics are unmindful of the divine gift of Christ in the Holy Eucharist. In other words, too many Catholics, he says, often receive out of mere routine, with little or no preparation before and hardly any thanksgiving after. Their hearts, he says, are not filled with a holy and fervent desire to receive the Eucharistic Christ. The remedy, this great saint says, is to prepare ourselves better to receive our Lord and Savior in Holy Communion and to make a worthy thanksgiving after Mass. To prepare ourselves for a worthy and most fruitful reception of Holy Communion means that we go to confession often and confess our sins, having a sincere and a firm purpose of amendment, of changing our lives. And we attend Mass with attention and devotion, making acts of faith, acts of hope, acts of love, and confidence in our divine Savior. And my dear friends, I would remind you that there are available many prayer books that contain most beautiful and inspiring prayers that can and will help us to better prepare for Holy Communion. And finally, St. Alphonsus de Liguori says this. He says, a most important part, and he puts great emphasis on this, a most important part of a good preparation is to have a holy desire to receive Jesus Christ in Holy Communion. In the practical order, he means that during our week, we must have a longing in our hearts, a great looking forward to our next Holy Communion. People of the world treasure and value worldly things. How many millions of people are looking forward to watching the Super Bowl, to having a Super Bowl celebration? And in and of itself, there's nothing wrong with a celebration. But how is it that people of the world have greater desires and a greater looking forward to worldly things than Catholics have for Holy Communion. Sergeant West, whose body was burned to a crisp, as Father Owen described it, had only one desire at the end of his life: to receive Holy Communion every day until death. And what a good and holy desire this was. But my dear friends, this good and holy desire to receive our Lord in Holy Communion should be our desire now. We should have a holy desire and longing now to receive our Savior in the Eucharist every day, or as often as we possibly can. For hardly a day passes in which we are not wounded. Hardly a day passes in which we are not burned. We are not disfigured by our faults, our failings, our weaknesses, and our sins on the battlefields of life. We thus need Him. We need our Eucharistic Savior in our hearts as often as we can receive Him. May we then, who have been blessed with the one true Catholic faith, and who have, in the midst of a universal apostasy, in the midst of a faithless and impure world, may we, who have the greatest of blessings and privileges that can be had today, the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the real presence of Christ in the Blessed Sacrament in our tabernacle, may we be more mindful of Him in the course of our daily lives and the gift of Himself in the Holy Eucharist. May we always then have a true, a fervent, and holy desire and longing to receive Him, even as we ever strive to keep our hearts pure and unspotted from this world. And may the humble prayer of the Roman centurion be our own prayer, by which we often and fervently say to our good Jesus, "Lord, I am not worthy that Thou shouldst enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed." And finally, my dear friends, there's one more very important thing that I want to say to you. Some of you are aware of the terrible evil that took place here in New York State this past Tuesday, January 22nd. Governor Andrew Cuomo, a self-professed Catholic, signed a bill into law for this state which allows a woman, or even a young girl, to have an abortion all the way up to the time of childbirth. And this she can do when all is said and done, for any reason whatsoever. This is not just monstrous. This is satanic. This is completely and totally satanic. If there were ever a need for greater reparation for sin, I believe it is now. And where can we offer the most sacred heart of Jesus more worthy reparation for this sin and crime of abortion, which has reached a new height of evil? Where can we offer him more worthy reparation for the sins of the whole world than here in this chapel? Where can our prayers and other words be more effective than here in his real presence? Please take the time to come on some first Friday throughout the year on which the Eucharistic heart of Christ is exposed all night on the altar to receive our love in reparation. Come and spend an hour with him. And please come and give him at least an hour at that most special devotion which we do every year at this time, the 40 hours, which I mentioned is being held next month. For 40 consecutive hours, our Lord will be exposed here on this altar. Come on these most special occasions of First Friday and 40 hours and offer to your King, your Savior, and your God. Offer him your love. Offer him your loyalty. Offer him your gratitude and offer him your own personal requests. Come and pray for the conversion of poor sinners as the Lady of Fatima has asked. For many souls go to hell, Our Lady said, because there is no one to pray for them. If that was true, my dear friends, in 1917, and it was true when she said it, how much more is it true today? If this makes you sad, my dear people, if this makes you sad, consider how sad and how hurt is Jesus on account of the eternal damnation of so many. For it was his precious blood that was shed. It was his sacred body that was torn to pieces by a scourge. It was his sacred body that was fixed to that cross and nailed to it. And his blood that was shed to the last drop to save them. How hurt, how sad he is on account of so many sins committed in this world. And how outraged and indignant he must be at the murder of tens of millions of innocent children. For abortion is murder, and murder is a sin which calls down the vengeance of God upon a person who commits it, a people or a nation who sanction it. You know, Bishop Kelly once said from this pulpit over 20 years ago, I was here, I heard it. Bishop Kelly once said that the longer God waits to punish a nation for its sins and crimes, all the worse will that punishment be. But nonetheless, my dear people, nonetheless, I am confident that the Sacred Heart of Jesus will hear our prayers. I am confident that He will be pleased with our sacrifices that we make to be with Him. And our sacrifices we make to console Him and make reparation to Him. And I am very confident that we can and we will appease Him and His Sacred Heart. And we can and we will obtain many, many graces for the conversion of poor sinners. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.